You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Joy!
I'm not going to worry about your level of concern.
Joy and double joy!
We talking about
Twitter.
Triple joy!
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Quadruple joy!
Mike Tomlin eat chicken wings?
We can't speculate and recollate.
Just because you're the infinite and mesmeric light of eternal consciousness shining through the glistening but fractured lens of the individual human experience doesn't mean that you shouldn't enjoy high-quality internet content.
It's time for high-quality internet content. It's what Jin's talking about. The conversation about the Steelers' social media conversation. I'm Kyle Kreis. I'm here with Greg Benavent.
Hello.
One of the assumptions that we've been on for the past year is that Steelers Nation is one of the worst fan bases on social media. You know, we used to flaunt the stats that three or four out of five Steeler tweets were negative or something like that. You know, but I've re-examined some of my beliefs, and I might have to tweak. So I went back and looked. I might need to tweak some of this.
Okay.
You know, because I think I manipulated the data in the wrong way.
Oh.
And some important information came out this week that made me reflect what I, you know, do I have to change what I thought I believe? And therefore, maybe what all Steeler Nation needs, I don't know.
Okay.
That's in a second, but I do want to tease that these Big Ben comments from the Madden show.
Oh, yes, Mark Madden. Yes, absolutely, yeah.
We'll do that in the second half. Plus, we're not going to talk about mocks. Okay, mock heads. Well, in the second half, I will tell you who the most reliable mockers, you know, if you're going to focus some attention on this.
Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't, but these are the people that if you have we'll to, tell you. You should use, yes.
So let's talk negativity. You know, in February 2022... we saw the bookies.com study that they went over the entire 2021 season and the data was 1 out of 5, 21.2%, about 1 out of 5 tweets were positive. Now I took that to mean that 4 out of 5 were negative, not necessarily a 1-to-1 correlation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's on me. I apologize to you, Steeler Nation. Instead of being 4/5 jerk store,
well, Well, I mean, I guess just what's a neutral tweet? I mean, you know, Najee Harris runs for 3 yards, second down. Like,
oh, no, but don't believe it. No, we were still, Steeler Nation was still ranked 27th out of 32. Okay. So not, you know, not necessarily. So when we were out there flaunting, oh, we're the fourth most negative fan base. I should amend that to say we are the fourth least positive fan base. Okay.
I think we can all agree with that.
That is the, so there is a change of philosophy. I will admit when I get things wrong, I've been calling you the fourth worst. You're the fourth least best. And that's just according to the data.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to the tweets. Now from at Kyle P. Barber, Kyle Phoenix Barber. Mm-hmm. According to gambling.com, the Baltimore Ravens fan base is the third angriest online NFL fan base since free agency began. Yes, the negativity rankings are back. Last year it was bookies.com. They studied the entire 21 season. Now we're just in this small window of free agency from the fine social scientists at gambling.com. And We've been promoted. We're no longer the fourth least positive.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ninth most negative.
Wow. Okay. That feels like a drop or a rise. I'm not sure which way we're defining.
Would you rather be the fourth least positive or the ninth most negative?
I mean, ninth most negative. Like if there's a negative playoffs, you're kind of on the outside of that. I mean, that's, you're like trying to get in. You're hoping that somebody is positive at the last second so you can sneak in there.
Oh, yeah. You're never going to be able to compete with the New Yorks or the Phillies, you know, when it comes to pure negativity. So they and gambling.com went as far to break it down by social media category. So on Reddit, we are the second most negative. 20.7% of all posts on the Steeler Reddit are negative.
Wow.
Which if you're ever on that Reddit, you would think that's an understatement.
Oh, okay. I try to avoid Reddit because I'm bad enough looking at Twitter. So, yeah. So I'm glad to hear there are worse swamps and further abysses.
Yeah, well... And believe me, if you're on Facebook, that's pretty bad. Do you think that's bad? Well, no, actually on Facebook, we're tied for eighth most negative with the Ravens and Broncos.
Okay.
You know, Ravens, hey, they're a playoff team. I know they've got some quarterback troubles. Broncos, man, if we're on that kind of level,
That's, and they're going to be negative for a long time. I mean, that's not turning around anytime soon. Oh, geez.
And then on Twitter, we're the ninth most negative. Gambling.com has a very gratuitous stat of only 5.7% negative on Twitter, but still the ninth most negative.
I mean, again, I mean, the first thing I was struck by is that, like, if the Steelers have the ninth highest level of negativity, but the rankings on the three separate things we're using are 2, 8, and 9, that how does that average out to ninth overall? I'm sure whatever their methodology does, it does. It just, I wonder if it maybe places less emphasis on negativity on Reddit and more on Twitter.
Well, yeah, I think there's more eyeballs on Facebook and Twitter,
okay,
right?
That makes sense.
Reddit probably gets a fraction of that. So, you know, eighth on Facebook, ninth on Twitter, second on, I mean, but Reddit's where the action is, you know, take me where the action is.
And again, I also, I mean, just as I kind of intimated before, I'm not sure exactly what constitutes a neutral tweet. So it's, I mean, I guess negative is it's just something complaining at the team, or maybe they searched for certain words. And
this is only free agency. This is when, you know, a lot of, you know, Steeler Nation is hibernating. It's, the slumber of the offseason. So to be, you know, ninth negative now. It makes me a little worried what happens if we don't start off 4-0.
Oh, when the season starts out and the pro negativity people come back.
Oh,
That right now it's the off season for negativity. Like they're resting, they're getting their reps in. Yeah.
Well, I mean the James Harrisons of the negativity workout, like the Filipponis and the, you know, the whole 98.
Is no off season.
Yeah, the 93.7 crew is they're hard. You know, they're lifting every day out there on Twitter. But you know, Tomlin says, or the you know, some of the live tweeters who are embarrassed every play, or you know, unacceptable. So some of that is off.
I see they're hibernating that embarrassment for now.
What is it with these bookie.com sites, gambling.com sites? Why are they tracking all this fan like fan vibes? It's very much tracking vibes.
I mean, the only thing I could figure, and you and I were talking about this off the air, is that, you know, if I assume these companies make their own lines and do their own handicapping, so on some level they kind of have to balance fan perception, fan emotions, yet it's not like they have to get people to bet on a line tomorrow for a game this Sunday. Maybe it's for putting together bets for NFL futures. That's the only thing I can figure, but I don't know. Or maybe there's just nothing else for them to talk about during the offseason, which could also be true.
Well, this is also very guarded information. It's not on their websites. They don't, it's not like, this seems to be something that was sent out as a, I don't even know if it was a press release. It just started popping up on certain, you know, like journalists or pseudo journalists' Twitter feeds. But then when I went to the websites themselves, I couldn't find the raw data. I wanted to, you know, I was like, I'm going to talk to the chief bookie in charge of, you know, but of course, you know, that those guys probably, you know, or don't want to talk to me. So.
Yeah, and I doubt anyone who put this together was like wearing a lab coat at the time. I mean, whatever their methodology is, it might be a little janky, but I mean, the fact that we keep coming back to this is whatever they're doing, it kind of tracks with your and I experience. Like, the Steelers are among the most negative fan bases, regardless of time, regardless of event. And so whatever they're doing, it can't be all that far off.
Yeah, well, I think they're even being gratuitous. I think they're being, you know, I kind of look back to the bookies maybe as having more pulse when they, but they went through the whole season. So I think that I might, if they come out with a new, I need a follow-up. Bookies, gambling, okay, all right. Enough social science. We want to talk football. Well, you know, let's play some of the golden oldies,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Blame Canada!
Blame Canada! Or maybe not so much. Mm-hmm. How about not blaming at Pit Mia San Mia 90. Steel City Mia San Mia. Unpopular opinion. Canada was calling a conservative offense due to him protecting his young quarterback and less than stellar offensive line for most of the year. He will take the handcuffs off of Kenny now and we will have a much better offense. Bookmark this. I did bookmark that. That's how you ended up on the show. What do you think? That's we've seen all these O-line moves, and now we've got five guards and six centers and a Partridge, and it's all because now we can let the handcuffs off of Kenny.
Yeah, this was Mark Cabali's theory throughout the season, and it makes a lot of sense. Is that, you know, and it was always going to be the strongest argument for if they kept Canada, why that would have happened beyond just the idea of continuity. Yeah, I mean, it's by getting all of these guys, by this being Kenny's second year. Yes, it's time to open up the Glengarry plays in the back of the book if they're there, and yeah, bring them on.
We hear there's rumors of all these great plays.
Yes, so I heard you have some of the good plays. Perhaps those, it's time to bring those out.
If this is true, then Matt Canada, is he the ultimate Steelers martyr? We've sacrificed him on this, you know, on this stone.
Well, I think, but I mean, that's the most positive take of all those times when they say stuff like, it comes with a job, you know, like it's like they're standing on the wall. Like, so I mean, that very well could be the case.
There's still a chance that Matt Canada could have
the gabagool.
He might still have. He might be the 2021 NFL top five new offensive coordinator.
I keep coming back to something I heard Charlie Batch say after it was during one of the postgame shows this past year, and he said it kind of offhandedly, but it really struck me, was that just comparing, you know, Ben to Kenny, and it was his contention that they didn't give Ben full control of the playbook till after Super Bowl 40. Like, they didn't do that then. So I mean, obviously that's a little bit different time, but
no, we said it. I think we said before it took like 100 starts for Ben to get in the same game situations that Kenny has already been in.
Yeah, and I mean that implies that there may be the existence of the Glengarry plays. They might be there, like Bigfoot, like a Yeti. The sightings, the rumors may be true.
How about this from @MattLight? The Steelers are giving Kenny Pickett everything he needs to compete in the NFL. They have a defense that will keep them in the game. They rebuilt the O-line. power running back, top five tight end, physical deep threat wideout, Pro Bowl wideout. If Pickett is a franchise guy, Super Bowl contenders. Or is this the season? Should it be Super Bowl or bust?
No, it can't be Super Bowl or bust, not yet. But I mean, but this is also the year that, in the second year, remember, we thought the Bengals were going to like push for maybe a playoff spot, and they went to the Super Bowl in Burrow's second year. So, I mean, I think that's where the ceiling is. I'm not sure about all of those things coming together, and you're not in control of the other team. But yeah, what'd I say last year? I wanted to see improvement. I saw improvement. It's time for more improvement. That's what I expect for this season.
So, what would improvement be? I mean, it's got to be
playoffs. Unless there's some kind of crazy injury or something. Yeah.
Is he the franchise guy? Will this season determine if he's the franchise guy, or is it still to be determined?
Well, I mean, I think that kind of gets back to the thing you said a while ago, just a minute ago, about how the 100 starts with Ben and all that. I mean, and saying who a franchise guy is. Franchise guy is one of those things. It's like the old Joe Flacco is elite joke. A franchise guy to you means something different to someone else. I mean, I wasn't sure Jalen Hurts was a franchise guy until I saw the second half of the Super Bowl. Like, it's different for everyone else. To me, it's always, can this guy win a Super Bowl? If you can make it to a Pro Bowl, you can probably win a Super Bowl. So that's sort of where it's good enough for me personally.
If you got to a Pro Bowl, you might be a Super Bowl contender. That's my Jeff Foxworthy.
That's good enough. I mean, that's just, I haven't heard one of those in 20 years. Yeah.
All right, enough Canada, because it's con season. And Khan has been hard at work. Actually, he's taken it's been a light week. It's a watching week for Khan. Mm-hmm. But there's still plenty of watching on Twitter, if I could only find. At Brian Batko, early Steelers free agency signings 22. Mitch Trubisky, Mason Cole, James Daniels, Levi Wallace, Miles Jack, Gunnar Gesundheit. Early Steelers free agent signings 23. Patrick Peterson, Nate Herbig, Cole Holcomb, Landon Roberts, Isaac Siamalu. More aggressive or business as usual? So some people were like, oh, this is such a shocking year. Omar Khan shocked the world with this first week. But as Brian kind of points out, and this is kind of exactly how we played it last year.
Yeah, and I think this more aggressive nature is the new business as usual. I think now that, you know, they don't have the enormous quarterback contract, and also the fact that you have the salary cap master manipulator now as the GM himself, I think this is kind of the new normal about, you know, being aggressive in finding, you know, either fixing holes that you had or finding someone out there that you didn't think would be available at that price and saying, yeah, we'll bring you in and figure out the rest of it later.
Yeah, this definitely, if we can say there's a trend even between the Colbert and Khan eras, yeah, it's that. It's like, yeah, take care of business now. Act like there is no tomorrow. And then you get to the draft, and then that's where tomorrow. You know, today is for today. Tomorrow is for tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Right, let's. how about at Mark Madden X? Mark Madden. Steelers building up their running game in a passing league. What? No wonder all these guards were out there available, because everyone's passing and we're going to be running? What?
I don't know. I watched those conference championship games. Those are teams that are very good at running, particularly in the NFC side. I think you need that good running game if you're going to be able to get somewhere now. That doesn't mean it has to be. It's obviously not 1994, but man, the team that won the Super Bowl was the one with maybe the weakest running game, but they also had the all-time world talent quarterback. So considering, I don't think even the most, you know, upset, crazed Pickett head thinks he's going to be quite that level of all-time talent, I'd like to have the good running game to buttress him too.
Hey, well, and don't offensive linemen have to have a passing attack as well? What, do we know anything about if these guys are pass blockers as well?
I imagine they also pass block. I'm going to go on a limb and say that the person hired to be offensive guard can also pass block as well.
Right? You can't, can you speculate about
that? We can't speculate directly.
I don't know any of these guys. You know, it's like all the people that were supposed to be on our radar, it was not. I think that's why people were like, oh, this is so shocking. Yeah, because the people that you thought were going to be signed weren't. And guess what? That means you're not the insider that you thought you were. And that's for the pros and the amateurs.
But by the same token, I'm glad nobody, I mean, like, I like Javon Hargrave. I'm glad they didn't give him, like, the entire gross domestic product of the Bay Area, like he actually got, or that Tremaine Edmonds guy, who I'm sure is a great talent, but the last time I saw him, he looked lost against the Bengals.
And instead, we've got, you know, this great, we've got captains, we've got leaders, we've got, I don't, you know, who knows what we got, actually.
Right.
I don't
and
know.
We won't know for months. That's, but it's nice to be excited again. I feel as good about this team as I have since they didn't call that horse caller against that guy in the Dolphins Jets game.
too soon. well, there's one guy we do know we have. At David M. Todd, David Todd. Dan Moore allowed 5.9% pressure rate when lined up at left tackle, 23rd out of 35 players at left tackle. Chukwuma Okafor allowed 6.2 pressure rate when lined up at right tackle, 27th out of 36 players. So the rankings are low, but the pressure rate is also, I mean, that's like two plays a game. So if they're each giving up two pressures a game, is that... Do we really want to invest big to improve on that?
Well, I mean, I think it would be one of those best player available kinds of things. I mean, which is still what I believe they're going to do at 17, whether it's a corner or whether it is a tackle. If one of those, because if everyone takes a whole bunch of quarterbacks and then someone else trades up to get a bunch of cornerbacks, then yeah, I could see them definitely taking one of those big tackles there. I mean, how do you define? I mean, I'm sure they define pressure the right way, but like, yeah, I'm sure Dan Moore got dinged for a pressure on Pickett's winning touchdown pass to Najee against the Ravens. That was a pressure. Jason Pierre-Paul got a hand on him. Like, you know, so it's the pressure doesn't necessarily mean loss. You'd like to see a better number, but that doesn't. But the team likes Dan Moore. That's the one of the things the insiders say. That's something I genuinely believe. The team likes Dan Moore.
And Ben likes Dan. You know, Ben, every time he gets a chance, he says he likes him. And he's got 36 NFL starts or something, right? So, that doesn't necessarily rule 17. They're meeting we have to look at what the evidence is. They're meeting with the big boys.
It's good to see the big boys.
Right? They're meeting with at Ohio. Ohio State, they mean with the big boy. They're not meeting with corner right there. I don't think they're meeting. They were in Georgia, so maybe
they
that
were
corner.
In Georgia. Tomlin met with the big boys. I think some of the corners they haven't had the chance to. I don't know if they've had their pro day yet, but that picture of Tomlin at the dinner the other night with all those giant Ohio State guys, that was something. Like
Omar Khan not invited in the pick. Is that a little rub, or was he taking the pick? I don't know.
Right, that could be too. I mean, I imagine Omar is but and also they brought the offense. Offensive line coach to that one too. It was Tomlin, Omar, and the O-line coach. So like they're looking at these guys.
Yeah. So as much as I want to root for Dan Moore, then again, you could draft someone at 17 and Chooks has got he could be a casualty in 24.
Or
maybe.
Also right, a guy doesn't have to play. I mean, I know that's it's been the new way, but the guy can sit on the bench for a game or two. You can have a swing guy. There someone's gonna get hurt. I mean, I hate to say it. It's not gonna be like last year where everyone played every snap.
Okay, do we want what about everyone saying maybe I'm the only one that's like harping on this, but at RickFish412, our reigning fan of the year our season one fan of the year, Rick Fish. Andy Weedle was responsible for putting together what may be the most complete roster in the NFL last year. A roster that was so balanced, so complimentary, so complete. It was the reason the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, and now he's doing the same for the Steelers. I appreciate Andy Weedle as much as I appreciate Brandon Hunt in the past or anyone in the office. It seems like fans want to give him the credit. I know that there's a Philly connection with some of these players. Why does it seem like, oh, it's not Omar Khan who's doing that. It's Andy Weedle's bringing this team together.
Just because it's new, I would assume it's new behavior, new actions, and they connect it to the new person. I mean, your point is valid that, you know, who's to say that I'm sure everything that Andy Weedle is done or involved in has been signed off by Omar Khan since he outranks him. But by that same token, it can't be a coincidence they're getting these guys from the Eagles. I mean, I'm willing to believe, I'm sure these guys are great and all that. And everyone seemed, I was blown away by some Simon Asumalo guy, but I think that's where the fans come from is that it's not easy to put two and two together, but you can put one and one together.
You can just put one X, one X equals Y. Well, X must be. All right. How about let's go on the defensive side. We haven't talked about these guys at all. How about at Luciao, 1992, Matthew Luciao, Devin Bush, 4 sacks, 13 tackles for a loss, 10 QB hits, 2 interceptions, 173 tackles. Cole Holcomb, 4.5 sacks, 15 tackles for a loss, 9 QB hits, 3 interceptions, 239 tackles. Almost identical stats. Cole Holcomb has a significant amount more tackles.
Yes, and was taken in, what, the 5th or 6th round, and, you know, played behind two genuinely great defensive linemen in Chase Young and the other guy that signed that enormous contract whose name I don't know. But yeah, having a guy that's you know, a little I think they sort of got a guy to do some of the things that Devin Bush did without all the baggage of being, you know, not the first round pick that lived up to our expectations.
So if he comes in and does Devin Bush like things, we can just be like, oh man, you know, it's not a bust, it was our low expectations.
Well, it's probably going to cost not that much money too, but I also think they're going to I doubt this is the last guy that comes in at inside linebacker this year.
Okay, it's a deep tease. Should we do one more thing on con season? Why not? I think this is a chode of the week. At Tommy Jaggy, Deontay Johnson, Chukwuma Okorafor, and Mitch Trubisky have a combined cap number of $40 million for the 2023 season per over the cap. That's a lot of cap space devoted to three players who don't move the needle. Oh my gosh, why can't we just get rid of these three players and then go spend $40 million on, I don't know, is there anyone else out there?
That's just it. This is the market for these positions. It's a wide receiver and a tackle. I mean, those are just expensive. You're going to overpay for those when you have to pay for them. That's why, you know, when the draft comes, we might see, just like we did last year, I bet we do, some kind of wild run on wide receivers being A, drafted high, or B, and or B, getting traded from team to team. I mean, that's the three positions you're going to overpay for, with the possible exception of like also adding like defensive tackle too.
If Chukes plays all 17 games again this season, wouldn't it be worth every penny spent?
I mean, it certainly, yeah. I mean, for what you could have paid for to get one of those guys, absolutely. I mean, I think it's okay to be frustrated that like Chukes isn't a star, but or one of the absolute best at his position, but he's done fine. He hasn't been the reason they've lost. The main reason they've lost. I can certainly say that.
The cream of the crop.
He's not the cream of the crop, maybe, but he's in the crop. Mm-hmm. Now, if Mitch Trubisky doesn't play a single down in 17 games, isn't he worth
He would be worth every penny in that case. Yes, that's not going to happen. I mean, not in a 17 game season, but it. I mean, that'd be great if it happens, but yeah, that's not going to be the case. I think, I don't think they mind paying Mitch any of that, just off the idea, again, this is, if Kenny gets hurt, here's a guy who they believe can come in and win them a game.
All right, well, coming up in the second half, we're going to talk some mock drafts, just to give you an update, and to tell you who the reliable mockers are, who is mock and who is not mock. And we'll talk about Ben on that Mark Madden show. And I don't know. I think people are twisting it a little bit out. Mm-hmm. Coming up in the second half.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We'll be right back.
see these drafts mark so many names on all their boards, but they're all the same. I don't care about the situation, cause your mock draft is just mental masturbation.
Unless you're one of the eight names on my list.
There's only one way. There's only one way to mock.
All right. It was about this time last year when the mocks, because you could start to say, might start to sort of sway toward the arc of accuracy. I'm not saying entirely accurate, but certainly better than the January, February mocks. Let's get to some tweets. At Michael Beck 56. Michael Beck. If I had to guess the likelihood of the Steelers' first round pick, it would be something like corner 45%, offensive tackle 35%, defensive tackle 15%, receiver 5%. Okay, well, you didn't have to do that, unfortunately, but if you had to, you didn't have to. Okay. Well, what do you say about these, you know, from the cloud prediction of...
I mean, if I had to, and I certainly don't either, say that I would actually come up with very similar numbers. I would just amend receiver to tight. I would have receiver slash tight end. But yeah, I mean, this, again, I'm reading the same stuff guy's reading. I'm sure he's reading more of it than me. But yeah, I think this is similar just because with the number of corners there are out there, with the number of offensive tackles there are out there, and the number of defensive tackles there are out there, then yeah, I could see this being similar to this. But wow, this is vapor beyond mist and floating into space.
Oh, that sounds, what is that? Is it a Bowie lyric or something? At the Sports Guru 91, my Mark Carmichael. Definitely not going cornerback with the first pick. I tried to tell y'all this was after James Pierre was re-signed. James Pierre, bringing him back into the room, does that mean anything at 17?
I'm glad you found the world's biggest James Pierre fan, a man that still believes, and good for him.
Two game winning plays.
That's right, absolutely. And that's why they're going to keep, I imagine, that guy until he gets bumped out of that room. He's going to keep coming back year after year. No, James Pierre, I wish he could. James Pierre could be good enough to move them off of cornerback at the first pick.
Well, the room then is Patrick Peterson, mm-hmm. Levi Wallace,
yes.
Akilah Witherspoon, mm-hmm. and James Pierre. Now, of course, you can cut your practice squad, you know, Pierre. But then if you do add a fifth with pick 17, yeah, I guess I just explained it. You could move Pierre to the practice squad.
Or you can cut Witherspoon. I know that's the other option I've heard. But that's absolutely it. But I also think, you know, one, it's nice to see, just to go back to the vapor of the prior tweet there, it's nice to see that there's so many different options they could choose and still get a really good player. Like, I do think this is a genuine best player available kind of thing.
We're going to get the guy that everyone slept on because they needed their quarterback or they needed their whatever,
right.
Whatever
exactly.
It is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about at Steel Yinzers? Word is Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan did not attend Jordan Addison's pro day. Does not look good for the Addison fans, but it could be a smokescreen, you know. Wideout. I don't think they've really looked at any. I don't know who all the wideouts are on these. But
I have no idea.
I don't. You know, they're not meeting with wideouts. Is wideout off the? You know, where's wideout in the priority of things?
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're probably going to bring in a receiver in the draft. They tend to draft one each year, so it might be kind of later on. But but that's the one thing we know, the one ironclad rule you could always go to is that they were there for what the guy they pick at these meetings. That's the highest one I can remember that I don't think they did. I don't think they went out to see Juju. I don't think.
Well, he was like a second rounder.
He was a second round pick. He wasn't the first, but so that's what I kind of thought.
Oh,
okay, if Addison falls, maybe.
If he falls to 32, does that not count toward? Should we not include 32 in our
right.
schemes when we think about these meetings?
Right. See, that's what I'm kind of wondering. Like, is it? It's. I bet if Addison's there in the second round, what's the other pick? 40 something. I bet
49.
They pick him there. But I mean, his combine couldn't have been that bad. But yeah.
Okay, how about at Reggie_BFlow, Steeler Reg. This isn't even about Addison. Receiver should be in play, period. A lot of unproven behind DJ and Pickens. One injury to either, and we're effed. Yes, it's a need. Couldn't they, I mean, there's still like a Miles Boykin out there. Right. We still don't know about Stephen Sims. Sims contributed last year for them to kind of just cut contact. So I guess there's more than one way to get a wide receiver.
There is. And look, I mean, whatever criticisms you can have of the Steelers, they've been good at finding wide receivers. And I also think, kind of get back to our conversation we had a minute ago about the Steelers tying up all that money into those three guys. I think this is a lot of teams, even really good teams. It's hard to have that great third and fourth wide receiver all the time and for too long. It's every team doesn't have much depth in wide receiver. They're so expensive. They're gonna add a receiver between now and when training camp starts. I can almost guarantee you that.
And when you have that much pedigree at receiver, I think it's hard to get everyone the touches. I'm thinking when it was Washington and Juju and and DJ, you know, and then someone like Washington kind of slipped out. He had high pedigree.
Yes, he did. He absolutely did.
All right, the current, let's look where the mocks are at this year. This week, we've gained 16, you know, like I said, I'm not counting every single mock, serious mocks, national and Steeler media. Yeah. So we've added 16 mocks, and we're up to about 57 mocks since March.
Mm-hmm.
Three new players this week. We're up to 21 different players at 17. Okay. Three new players, new this week. All the big boys new is the tackle from Ohio State, DeJuan Jones. He was on two mocks this week. The guard from Florida, Osiris Torrance, who had been mocked a ton at 32, now getting mocked to 17.
Wow!
And another interior lineman from OSU, Paris Johnson Jr. Should we be disqualifying some of these guards?
I hate to do that this far out, but the fact that may be something that happens. You may think away from the guards at this point. I mean, I hate to, because as soon as you start saying that, then you're like, oh no, I'm one of these mock draft people now too. But I might focus more on the other names. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I've become more cynical about this since this time we've been doing it. When I actually look at the numbers, I mean, I find it hard to believe that they would draft a guard that high at this point. And I also don't think Joey Porter Jr. is going to be there. I think someone will take him ahead of them.
He's still by and far the favorite. He's got 14 total mocks. He gained three this week.
Mm-hmm.
Darnell Wright, the tackle from Tennessee, gained three this week. He's second with six.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Deontay Banks, the corner from Maryland. He gained one this week. He's got five.
Mm-hmm.
The tackle from Georgia has five. Broderick Jones. And then we've got, now we start to teeter off. Teeter off? Is that?
I think that's right.
We've got Brian Branch at safety from Alabama. He has three total mocks. He gained two this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the linebacker from Clemson, Trenton Simpson, gained two this week. So he's at three.
Mm-hmm.
It's Joey Porter or a tackle.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the numbers are now. I mean, and also, like, you know, we're a ways away from this. But we're not so far away from this. Like, I don't think something too much, I mean, again, here now I'm one of these people too, but so much can change between now and then to move the mockers off of the corner and tackles. Like, there's no one they're going to be able to sign that would make someone think, okay, they're not still in the market for a tackle or a corner.
They could re-sign Terrell Edmonds, and that would shake some of the safeties.
Push Branch out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what else? You know, maybe a receiver. I don't know. Okay, what about at 32? Mm-hmm. Not everyone is mocking 32 yet. We're up to 31 mocks. We gained 11 this week. Mm-hmm. At 17 different players, we gained five. So that's a little bit everywhere. The leaders right now at 32 are, some people mock him at 17. It's DeJuan Jones, the tackle from OSU. Mm-hmm. He's got four. Kylie Ringo, the corner from Georgia, has four.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Banks, another one at 17. You know, a lot of these guys are at 17 and 32.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the nice thing about having those two picks is that there's going to be a lot of crossover between those two. And that's also part of the reason I've seen plenty of mock drafts where people have them trade down from one of those two picks just because they're so close to each other for more picks. But But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of crossover, and it's interesting. I've noticed the defensive linemen have fallen off of this. Brise and the other guy from Michigan, whose name I have no idea.
Yeah,
but it's interesting that they have fallen off. Maybe that might be some change you see with the mockers. Like once they start to be like, oh wait, the Steelers have an entire line of guards. Maybe we'll start putting the D linemen back in there.
And then once the insiders start, you know, pushing their buttons, that's we the closer we get into April, the more accurate these things get. Mm-hmm. As we learned from last year, go back into the archives and find last year's Mock the Mock special. Mm-hmm. And you actually, we don't have to. I'll tell you right now, these were last year's most reliable mockers. If you're going to start paying attention, these are the ones to pay attention to. We discovered last year, but there are some asterisks with all these. Mm-hmm. So Peter King, Sports Illustrated. Now, he only did one, mm-hmm. and it got Pickett, and it got some of the most in that first round.
Wow.
Mel Kiper, you know, he never had Pickett.
Okay.
So even though he was more accurate as far as, you know, kind of a first round overall, but he never got Pickett to the Steelers. So I don't know.
Okay.
Lance Zierling over at NFL.com. Mm-hmm. He had a good mock. And in April, again, these are all in April. No one was doing it before April.
Right after St. Patrick's Day.
And he had Pickett, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Our own Andrew Wilbar. You know, in April, he had a good first-round mocks, but, you know, he didn't pair us with Pickett. He really didn't have any of the Steelers guys on his radar. So is that a strike against you or not? I don't know. If you consider the mock source that you trust. Do you want someone with first overall knowledge or Steeler-specific knowledge? At PFF, there is Ari Miro, which I haven't even seen any of his mocks yet this year, so I don't know if he's in the game still. He might have ducked out after going out on top last year.
There you go. Go out with the ring.
And Damon Parson at the Draft Network.
Never even heard of that.
They had Kenny and a good and Alex Cazora over at Depot. You know, he didn't have Pickett, but he had guys like Mark Robinson and Oladokun on his radar.
Oh,
so
okay, that is good.
That if you're gonna get into the mocks, those who you can trust, I suggest not. I suggest you know, doing stuff like playing Steelers March Madness. Decide the, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no one got into that. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not sour. Am I sour? I don't care. I think the band's trying to get on the field. Is there a band on the field? No, that's the wrong song. They finally found me. I'm really hungry. 2 minutes on the clock. Well, whatever. It's a 2 minute warning with TV timeouts.
Right.
At PGH Steelers Now. Former Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger says the 49ers pursued him in 2022 while that team was dealing with multiple quarterback injuries. Some of the headlines were like, discussions took place, and it made it sound like this was something he actually considered. I listened to the Mark Madden interview, so you don't have to. And it was, I didn't get that vibe at all. It was San Fran doing their due diligence.
Yes.
Calling every, you know, that would have been like, you know, calling Peyton Manning.
If they called Rivers, too.
Yeah. So calling everyone who might have interest. And so they call the agent. They don't call Ben directly.
Right.
And then the agent says, hey, we just got a call from the Niners. What do you think? And he goes, nah, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And that is a discussion, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's the Niners. It sounds like everyone did the right thing here from the Niners on down. And as much as I don't think much of Brock Purdy, I mean, my first thought was like, geez, Ben wasn't going to cover A.J. Brown. Like, there's no way they were getting out of that title game, even with Ben.
It would have been the same problems. You had to get the ball out quickly. You don't want him to, you know, break a...
Exactly. And they couldn't protect Purdy. They weren't going to be able to protect Ben after podcasting for 10 months.
From podcast to Super Bowl. That's the movie. At Andrew Petcash. Joe Hayden made $7 million with the Steelers, yet one investment in shoes made him twice as much. When Joe Hayden was in Cleveland, he invested $250,000 in a company called StockX, which was a stock market for like collectible shoes, now worth $14
million. Wow.
No wonder he didn't sign back with the Steelers. He's got that shoe money.
I mean, and you should read this story, folks, if you haven't. It is fascinating. It just shows how, you know, a good guy made a good decision at
Yeah, well, I don't know. That tattoo, that half Cleveland tattoo, you can't take that off. You're gonna have to sell a lot of shoes to get that taken off. At Steeler Nation, one of the best linemen in Steelers history admits he doesn't watch much football these days. David DeCastro showed up. So I don't know who had this interview, but he doesn't really care about Steelers football much anymore. But he's really into disc golf. Who saw that?
I mean, I've known people that have played it. I've never tried it. I mean, have you done it?
I mean, I know how to throw a frisbee, but I've never counted how many times I've
thrown
it.
Right, and I've never let's do this with precision. But I also can see, you know, wanting to be like, hey, that part of my life's done. I just remember just even reading interviews with DeCastro over the years and all that. You never got the feeling like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to stick around. Like when this guy's done, he's cashing out.
I like that he's a Stanford guy. Nate Herbig is a Stanford guy and really likes him. I hope that there's a moment for some reconciliation.
Absolutely.
There. Let's bring him. Let's bring the alumni back.
Mm-hmm.
How about at BT Steel Curtain, BTSC Steelers, you get one of the four players below to add to the current defensive roster. Who are you taking? Minjo Green, Mel Blount, Jack Lambert, or Rod Woodson?
I mean, it's a great question. I hope they got a lot of engagement with it. I mean, it's one of those things, like the answer, to me, it feels like the answer is always Minjo, regardless of like the current roster construction is, because Minjo would make the rest of everything else better. Not that the other guys wouldn't, but it just seems like in terms of pure, I mean, bang for your buck, that almost sounds like a pun in this context. It'd be hard to ever go wrong with having Minjo be the guy.
I like the argument, because when I first saw it, I was like, at first I said Mel Blount, and then I was like, I don't know if the rules today would benefit him. And
right,
then,
exactly. Can you imagine? I mean, all the crap we had to go through with Harrison, like Mel Blount trying to explain, like, you can't clothesline this guy.
So I wasn't sure. And same with Lambert. I was like, I just don't know if today's game would have been his. And I was going to say Woodson, but I like your argument for Mean Joe. I think he could suit up now, actually. Maybe we need put him on the team now. Can we take all who's gone, bring back Mean Joe? Okay, one last thing. At FBF Beer, FBF Wholesale. The summer sensation, now with no assembly required. The sweet lemony goodness of Turner's Premium Iced Tea meets the classic taste of Iron City beer for the most refreshing drink these three rivers have ever seen. Iced tea mixed with Iron City Lager. Is this the summer sensation, now no assembly required? I've never heard of this before. Is this anything?
I mean, my first thought, once, you know, I was able to regain my voice, was to think, like, I never tried Twisted Tea. I'm assuming that's what this is like, although maybe I'm wrong.
I just thought that was just, like, alcoholic tea.
Maybe that is. I don't know. I didn't know you could mix tea with beer. I mean, it seems like the kind of drink you would have found by accident.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, top me off, bartender. Well, okay, what's that, an iced tea? Like, no, that's my beer.
It's one of those things, like, I mean, as someone that is very conscious of how much sugar they consume, I kind of think, like, man, I hope this has enough sugar in it to make that taste work.
I've heard of, well, you know, someone said that there's Turner's iced tea and whiskey is something.
Okay.
But that's,
you know, mixer liquor. I mean, that's two things we know go together. We never thought of mixer beer.
What about, so if like lemonade and iced tea is an Arnold Palmer, what would iced tea and lager be, like a Todd Haley?
it's coming up short on the three hole. I don't know. Wow.
I'll try it.
We're obviously going to try it.
I don't know where you get it around. Well,
when I go home to visit my mom, I do twice a year. I'm sure we'll have one of these, and I'll be like, wow, that's enough. Get out the vodka. But yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Send us your Iron City sweet teas, please.
That's what we've been talking about.
Thanks, Coach. All right. I guess that wraps it up for today. The conversation continues on social media. Where were the ninth negative fans in the NFL? I'm at Kyle Kreis on there somewhere. Greg, what about yourself?
Oh, I'm somewhere in the ether at Greg Benevent, B as in boy, E-N-E, V as in Victor, E-N-T.
Vote on those on that Steelers March Madness. If you vote. I don't know. I've turned anti Immaculate Reception on this thing. I'm just like, it was a symbolic. It was a symbolic play. It wasn't an actual victory. It was the no losing seasons of Steeler history. But whatever. Okay. Until next week, you should do what Coach do.
Be the best self. That's going to be required.
Stay in school.